appreciate the Lord's faithfulness to us and asking your prayers that he'll be faithful one more time to bless his word. I was thinking about how expectations, things we look forward to, kind of keep us going in life. What's around the next corner, what's going to happen next, and what we're going to face, what we're going to deal with. Those are life's experiences, and sometimes many of them are different from others, but I'm thankful this morning God knows and understands it all. I was thinking about my life growing up, your life too. When we were young, we always wanted to be older. Always looking for the things that we could do when we got older. Brother Rick mentioned when he mentioned about driving. Well, we knew that back in my day, if it was possible, when I turned 16, I was going to get my temps, start driving. Everybody looks forward to that, seems like. Then after you start that, then you think about turning 21, so you'll be a man or a woman. You'll be considered as such. You'll be able to do a lot of things maybe that you couldn't do before then. And then when you get 21, then there's possibly marriage involved in life, and a lot of things can happen in a marriage. A lot of things did happen in our marriage. But most of all, it's been a good one, and we thank the Lord for that. Then you go on and you have children, and then the next thing you're looking forward to is grandchildren. We got a lot of those. The Lord's blessed us abundantly. Then you've been working on this job for many years. I don't know what it's like now, but I know when I worked on the job for many years, they told me when I got 30 years in. See, they gave me something to look forward to. When you get your 30 years in, you can retire if you want to. Well, I wanted to. I got my 30 years in and I retired. I wanted to do things for the Lord. The Lord's helped me to be able to do a lot for him, I hope. And then you go on and you look to the point of retiring, and then you find out that when you retire, you're pretty much an old person by then. So there's different seasons in your life, but all these things come with age. They don't just fall in your lap, they come with age, and you have to wait until you get there. I'd like to read a very familiar scripture to us all in Ecclesiastes, 3rd chapter. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and a time to lose. Time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend, and there's a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak." Boy, I wish we'd learned that as we go through life. That'd help us a lot, wouldn't it? "A time to love, and a time to hate. Time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that which wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." I'm thinking this morning, there is a time for us to grow up. a time for us to develop into what God would have us to be. Many times we look so forward to things that we do in life, we become selfish about it, and it's all about me, and it's all about what I want or what I think I need. But really, for us this morning, it should be about what God wants and what God needs and what He's requiring and accepting of you and I. First thing I want to say in this little lesson today is you can't get in a hurry with God. You can't get in a hurry with Him. God is going to take your lifetime to develop you, to help you to grow, to help you to understand, to help you to get courage, to get wisdom, to get faith. He's going to take a lifetime to help you to do that, and there are no shortcuts. Let me tell you right now, when you try to take a shortcut even in life, you find out that that wasn't a very good idea to take a shortcut, because it'll get you the wrong place or take you the wrong way. And that's what trying to take a shortcut and living for the Lord will do if you're not careful. So don't get in a hurry with God, and don't take any shortcuts. You know, it takes years. It takes our years to grow to adulthood and a full season of fruit to mature and ripen. It takes years to do that. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord's patient with you. When He sees that you're trying, when He sees that you're growing, when He sees that you're making progress, He's very pleased with that. And I'm thankful this morning that He understands our needs. He understands us. He understands me. He understands you. He knows what makes you tick, and He knows what makes me tick. I was thinking about maturing, ripening. I heard a story one time about tomatoes. Some folks like them, some folks don't. I happen to like them a lot. But tomatoes in other countries are picked before they're ripe, and then they're shipped to you and I, and they are sprayed, they're picked green. Get a hold of this. They're picked green. When I got saved 30-some years ago, I was pretty green about a lot of things. But thank the Lord, through the experiences of life and through the things that have happened and through the things that He's taught me, the things I've been able to get a hold of, I'm not as green as I was back then. And I've become to ripen just a little bit. But when these green tomatoes get here, they're sprayed with CO2 gas, which turns them red instantly. Now, to you and I, they look like good edible fruit because they're red. But they've been sprayed with this CO2 gas, and yes, they look ripe and they look red, but they don't taste good. They don't taste like what you would go out and pick out of your garden, a nice, juicy red tomato. They don't taste like them. So the Lord wants us to be patient. He wants us to wait on Him. Don't get ahead of Him. Don't get behind Him. Stay right beside Him, and the Lord's going to take every one of us through. He is concerned about how strong we grow. He's more concerned with that than how fast we grow. Get a hold of that. He wants us to be strong. It's not so much how fast we get there. He's patient and waiting on us, but He's interested that we're strong, that our faith takes hold, that His grace is ministered to us, and it's been working in our hearts and in our lives. He views each and every one of us from eternity for eternity. That's what He is preparing us for, is eternity. He's preparing us as we walk through this life and getting along with one another and dealing with one another and dealing with the issues of life and all those things. But it's eternity that God is interested in. I want to turn to, I'm going to use a few scriptures maybe, but I want to turn to Jeremiah, 32nd chapter, and just pick up a thought here, if I can make my pages work. Jeremiah 32 and 16. He says, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." I want us to take courage this morning. There's nothing too hard for God. He's even able to make us what he wants us to be. What he wants us to be. And as I heard in the Sunday school lesson, folks, it's his will. It's his will that we be his children, that we be his, that we be faithful. It's his purpose for us to have confidence in him, and there is nothing too hard for God. "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompenseth the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone afterward, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Notice he said here, "Thou showest loving kindness unto the thousands and recompense iniquity unto the fathers." But he says he's great in counsel and he's mighty in work. And folks, he wants to do a work in you. He wants to do a work in me. Many times we're not able to see it right away. As he brings us along and begins to work development in my experience with him and drawing me closer to him and giving me understanding how to live for him, many times we may not understand it at first, but folks, let him have his way and let his will be done in earth, and that's us, as it is in heaven. And I'll tell you, he'll make you a very fruitful soul. God chooses, folks, to develop us slowly. The children of Israel were given the promised land little by little so they wouldn't be overwhelmed. If I had to get a hold of many of the principles that I understand this morning, things that God has taught me and things that have helped me to be strong in the Lord, if I had to get a hold of them the day or the week that I got saved, I would be overwhelmed and I would not be able to handle it. And God knows that. He knows what you can take one step at a time. He gave them the land of Canaan a little by little. He let them go and it destroyed their enemies. He didn't overwhelm them by just giving them the whole country and getting everything done all at once. They wouldn't have been able to handle it. And God knows that about you and I. I want to talk about some things. Why God takes so long to change you and I. Number one, some people are slow learners. I've always felt like that I had to have a brick fall on my head to get my attention to help me to understand and learn some things. And some people are just that way. Sometimes we have to relearn a lesson in order to really get the lesson, to get the benefit that God has for us in that lesson. We would be better off. As God teaches us the lessons, as the trials come our way, as the difficulties come our way, we'd be better off asking the Lord to show us what our needs are here than try to take us out of the trial. until we get the understanding and the victory that God wants us to get out of it. The problem may keep recurring, and we may say, oh, not again. I've already been through this. I've already learned that, but God knows better, especially in my case, it was patience. I can admit to you all that patience has been one of my banes. It's always been one of those things that I've had to work with and I've had to overcome and I've had to get more of it. But Lord's helped me over the years to understand that it's best to be patient and to wait on the Lord. You know, the history, and I talk about the children of Israel, the history of the children of Israel illustrates how quickly we forget the lessons that we've learned. How quickly were the lessons that God taught them, and how soon they reverted to their old ways. So we all know that it's human nature that we quickly forget. And we may revert back to the old ways. God wants us not to revert back to the old ways, but He wants us to take what we've learned and He wants us to build on that, that we can be stronger on Him, with Him tomorrow. Number two, slow learners. Sometimes we have a lot to unlearn. You know, there's people when they get saved, they've got a lot of excess baggage. I had some excess baggage, had some things I had to get rid of, had some things that I had to overcome. You know, people in today's society, you read about it, you heard about it, they go to a counselor and they want the counselor to fix everything in their life that's been going on for years and they want them to fix it right now. Well, the Lord don't fix it right now either. The Lord will begin the process and He will begin to work with us. The problem didn't develop overnight, and it's not going to be taken care of overnight. You're not going to develop. You're not going to get there overnight. But it's important when the Lord says to get there for us to get there. He told Elijah, He said, when the brook dried up, I want you to go to the poor widow woman, and she's going to feed you there. He didn't send him to a rich widow woman. He sent him to a poor widow woman. He could have sent him to a rich one, but He sent him to a poor one. Folks, it's time, as time goes on and as we grow in the Lord, we learn to trust in the giver, not what is given, but we learn to trust in God and we learn to see Him in a greater way. We have to relearn sometimes. Sometimes we need repeated exposure to the trials and tests that we make. The trials and the tests are the problems that we have or that we deal with. They don't go away overnight. But the Lord's patient. There's a season, see. As we go through these seasons in life, we find ourselves all stressed in a given situation. We can pray that all we want to about it. Now here's what I want us to understand. When you get in any given situation in life and you're going through a trial and you're going through a test and the Lord shows you things in your life, you can pray all you want to about it, but you're going to have to get rid of the things that God tells you to get rid of, and you're going to have to draw closer to Him if you really want to get victory over the thing that you're praying about, or you're going to continually be stressed about it. You're going to have to unclutter your life. Unclutter the things that are stressing you. Oh, but Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I want you to do this. And Lord, I want you to do that. And Lord says, you have too much clutter. You have something that you've got to get rid of in your life. And when you get rid of that, I'll give you the victory. I'll help you to overcome this thing in your life. The Bible says, old things, number three. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Sometimes that's a hard lesson for us to get a hold of, folks. It's a process of removal and replacement. My old man has to pass away. The thing, and you know how habitual that we are. those old habits, those old ways, those old things, those old thoughts, those old places, those old attitudes, all those old things have to pass away before all things can become new with the Lord. A removal and replacement. We may now have His nature, but we still have some old habits and patterns or practices that need to be removed and replaced. I want to read one verse of scripture over in Romans real quick, in the 8th chapter and the 29th verse. He says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." The Lord wants you and I to be conformed to His image. That's going to mean possibly some cutting away, some removal, some changes of things, in order for the Lord to do an established work in our hearts and in our lives. We're going to have to focus on those things and deal with those things, because if we don't, they will continually give us problems as we go down through life and as we go on with the Lord. We are continually going to struggle if we're carrying the old man with us as we try to live the new life. It doesn't work that way. We're in a race, folks. But God wants to give you and I, in order for me to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, it's going to take the grace of God. And in this Christian race, or this walk with the Lord, we're going to have to fall out on His grace and His help, His strength, His righteousness, His glory, His power in our lives. We're going to have to depend on that. We're going to have to trust that, because I want to be as the image of His dear Son. In order to come to that image, folks, I remember I've told this before, but my brother-in-law, he was a carver, and he liked to carve birds. And he carved some pretty neat birds. My sister would paint them for him after he carved them. And somebody asked him one time, "I don't see how you can do that." And I'll say that myself. I don't see how you can do that. He says, "How do you carve a bird?" He says, "You cut away everything that doesn't look like a bird." May the Lord help us this morning to cut away everything that doesn't look like the image of Christ. That's not what Christ would do. That's not what Christ would say. That's not how Christ would handle it. May the Lord help us. All things got to pass away. And that's so hard to do with this flesh. That's why Paul entreats us in Romans over there so many different times, not just in one place. Walk in the Spirit, that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, we got this old flesh to deal with. I'm sorry, but that's what we got to deal with. And we're going to have it to deal with as long as we're here on earth. But God has grace. And I don't want to frustrate the grace of God, do you? I don't want to frustrate His grace. But I want to take that grace and I want to apply it and I want to make it work in my life. He can do this. I just read that to you over there in Jeremiah. He's great in counsel, mighty in work, for mine eyes are open always upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and to the fruit of his doings. He's able. He's able to do it. We cannot take the road of "that's just the way I am. That's my makeup." Folks, the Lord has something better for me than that. He's got something greater for me than that. I can stand out there and say, "Well, that's just the way I am. I get upset and I get mad and I throw a tantrum and all this. That's just me. That's the way God has victory over that." He's able to corral those things, and He's able to bring us down and humble us in meekness and in kindness and in gentleness and in love. He's able to do that with you because He wants you to grow and He wants you to develop to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Number four, we sometimes are humbly afraid to face the truth about ourselves. Sometimes we just don't want to face it. I know that's the way I am, but I don't want to face that. I don't want to deal with that now. Folks, when God reveals anything to you, when you look into the mirror of His Word and the Lord begins to talk to you, you must deal with that. You must work with that. You cannot override it. You cannot put it aside, because if you do, you will never go forward. You will never grow in grace, but you will, your growth will be stunted. And before you know it, your relationship is going to be on a dead end street because you didn't take care of what God told you to take care of. I don't want to face the truth about myself. Paul, I think we all know the old saying, truth will set you free. But sometimes before it sets us free, it'll make you squirm a little bit. When I learned the truth about myself, it's everybody else. Remember what I said last Sunday? If everybody else would just be like me, I could lose saved. If everybody else would just do what I do and be the way that I am, I wouldn't have any problem living the same. But folks, people are my problem. Everybody's not going to do what I want to do. And when I learn the truth about myself that makes me act the way that I act, I may squirm a little bit, but I'm going to have to deal with it in order to get the victory over it. I'm going to have to deal with it. We don't like to hear the truth sometimes, because it does hurt. But nevertheless, it's for our good. It's for our spiritual benefit, our spiritual walk with the Lord. Sometimes it might be a fear of what I will discover. I don't want to find it out, Lord. And sometimes the Lord will bring it out in a message. He'll bring it out over the pulpit. He'll bring it out in your secret places at home. But folks, when He does, you've got to deal with it. You've got to work with it. You cannot be in denial about it, because denial will stunt your growth. You're not going to be the vessel that God wants you to be. The Lord shines His light of truth upon our hearts. He shines it upon our faults, our failures, our weaknesses, our hang-ups. Let us humble ourselves and say, Lord, that's me. Lord, that's what I am. Lord, that's where I'm struggling. Every time I pray, I seem to run right up against this brick wall. Lord, that's where I am this morning. May the Lord help me to have a teachable attitude, a humble, teachable attitude. Over in Philippians, Philippians 1, verse 2, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, the Lord did not save us to let us go. He did not save us to let us squirm around and wallow around all by ourselves. His grace is sufficient. He's willing to help us. We have to open up and let Him help us. Let Him come in. Growth is often painful a bit, and sometimes it's quite scary. You know, many of us can't remember our younger years. We got some young people here that probably that can. But folks, there was things that we faced when we were teenagers, and we were kind of, wet behind the ears, green, whatever you want to call it. And we didn't know how to face those things. But God has grace to help us to know how to face those things, to know how to deal with those things. There is no growth. Listen to this. There is no growth without change, and there's no change without loss. You're going to have to lose something. You're going to have to let it go. And there's no loss without pain. But it's humility, humbling down before God. Humility all the way. Lord, here I am. Here I am again, Lord. Lord, you see my need. And more importantly, you've shown me what my need is. And I need grace right here. I need the victory over this. I need to conquer this. I need to overcome this. I need to let it go. You know, that's a hard thing for some people to get a hold of, is just to let things go. Folks, Jesus made it plain. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross. This is the way of the cross. This is the way that we're walking this morning. A cross is a cruel instrument of death. This is the way of the cross. I'm chagrined. I can't believe that there's actually churches, especially in California and so many other places, when people come to church, they don't even open the Bible. They tell them how to live in society and those kind of things. They don't even use the Bible. May the Lord help us. Folks, this is still the way of the cross. Every change. When I find it, I need a change in my experience, in my life. It involves loss of some kind of the old man. I'm going to have to let the old man go. Must let him go in order to experience the new. Surely we want to experience what God has for us. We want to experience the new in the living way. Sometimes I might say to myself, oh, but my ways were really comfortable. We get comfortable. We get, as the old saying is, we get set in our ways. And we get comfortable in those. And I understand that. I had to go to the dentist Friday and get my partial adjusted. And he said, what are you going to do with the rest of your day? I said, I think I'll go home and try out my recliner a little bit more. Because I'm comfortable with it. I'm going to sit and I'm going to relax and I'm going to rest and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to pray. But I didn't tell him all of that, but I'm just going to go home and get back in my recliner and rest a little bit. And we get comfortable with those things. Remember when Jesus was walking along and he was walking on the water? And the disciples were out there in the boat. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to you. And he said, come. Folks, sometimes this is hard for us to do, is we have to get out of the boat. In order for Peter to experience walking on water, he had to get out of the boat. He had not take a chance. He had to trust in the Lord. He had to trust in his grace, in his power, and let I'm just like free falling. Lord, catch me. And help me here. Take me in your arms. Take me in your care. My ways may be a little comfortable to me, my old ways, but the Lord says, get out of the boat. And the Lord wants you and I to be willing to get out of the boat and keep our eyes on the Lord. God wants to develop your spiritual character. Spiritual character. And I keep saying this, but it's got to be integrity 100% of the time. We live in a society today that almost totally lacks integrity. There's not honesty anymore. It's what people want. It's what drives them. Power, money, authority, control. All these kind of things people are after today, and they're willing to throw away integrity, which is honesty. They're being very dishonest about it, and they're willing to throw that away in order to gain their desires. May the Lord help us It's to be integrity 100% of the time. Your habits. Maybe you might consider this a teaching lesson this morning. Your habits define your character. They actually define you, your habits. We are habitual people. But these are the attributes that distinguish what fruit that you are bearing. Are you a fruit bearer? What kind of fruit do you bear? What kind of fruit do you show to the world? What kind of fruit do you show to your family? What kind of fruit do you show to your congregation? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Over in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, another scripture. We'll try to tie into this. 1 Timothy 4 and 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that by thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate on these things. Give yourself to those things. Don't resist the word of God, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May the Lord help us to follow these instructions this morning. Folks, there are no instant habits. There are no instant can't think of the word. There's no instant habits, and there's no instant getting over those habits. But you must put good fruit into practice, and that takes a lot of time. God has your whole life. He's got you in His hands. He's working with you. He's progressing you. He's bringing you to the place that He desires you to be, conformed to the image of His dear Son. You put good fruit into practice, and that takes time. Spiritual discipline mingled with grace. It's God all the way. We can't advance. We can't get ahead. We can't grow. We can't develop. But it's without God. We can't do it without God. But it's Him all the way. His spiritual discipline builds our character as the character of Christ, the image of Christ. Loving God. Here's how we start. This is how we start out. When you first got saved, this is how you started. And we should continue to keep this. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. That's a good place to start. Loving God. Because it's God we're dependent on. It's God we're looking to. We want Him to help us in order for us to be a success. In order for our Christian walk to be not just for ourselves, but that others can look upon. What did He say? Meditate upon these things, that thy profiting may appear to all. Others can say, boy, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I was like him. I wish I was like... You can be. God has the same grace for you as He did for them. He's got the same grace for every one of us. My counsel today is don't get in a hurry with God. But let God have His way and work His will in your life. He's working in your life. You believe this? He's working in your life even when you don't feel it. I want to encourage you this morning. You're doing everything you can. You're talking to the Lord. You're pleading with the Lord. And the Lord's working in your life even when you don't feel it. He's working in your life because He wants you to be a success. You know how He's working? Little by little. Little by little. slowly. You may think, well, Lord, I want this process to slow up or to speed up. Well, it's not going to speed up. But he's working little by little. He's got a lot to work on sometimes. And I hope he's got a lot to work with. He wants to work with us one small step at a time. One step at a time. That song, everybody loves it, likes it, and says, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. That's all I'm asking of you, is one day at a time. That's how we grow. We're not going to grow leaps and bounds and pass someone else up. But the Lord's going to bring us along in a way that he wants to. Now I want to say this in closing, I hope. There are seasons in your life. And there are seasons in your spiritual life too. And the Lord knows that. And we have to have the grace applied in order for to sustain us in some of those seasons that we have to go through. Springtime always feels better than winter, doesn't it? Fall and winter are the stabilizing and the testing times. Oh, we like the sunshine. We have it today. It looks pretty out there. And it makes it, kind of lifts our spirits and makes us feel good and all those kind of things. But fall and winter, when those times come on, the leaves start turning color and they start dropping, everything begins to die. Snow begins to come. They're the stabilizing and the testing times of our seasons. May the Lord help us to get a hold of the grace that we need, that when this time comes in our spiritual walk with the Lord, that we'll stay true and faithful. Because we always have this idea in our mind, and I mentioned it a while ago to someone. I says, there's no other option. I'm going to go all the way regardless. I'm going to go with the Lord regardless. There is no other option. He's my one and only. I look to him for everything. Be patient with God and be patient with yourself, because it takes time. His timetable is different than ours. He will use your entire lifetime to prepare you for heaven. Remember what he did with the children of Israel? 40 years. Oh, Lord, that's a long time. 40 years out there in the wilderness. Long time, because they didn't get the message. They were disobedient. They weren't faithful. So the Lord let them wander around out there for 40 years. Sometimes it takes that in our lives. May the Lord help us not to take that long. 1 Timothy 1, we're here in Timothy, 1 and 14. I want to use this in closing. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul talking. Paul recognized who he was. He recognized where he was. But he said the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, when we have faith and love for Christ, and we have faith in Christ, his grace is and will be sufficient. It will give you everything you need in order for you to grow, in order for you to be strong in the Lord. I want the Lord to be satisfied with me. You know, the woman that told me one time, I gave my heart to the Lord. Or how did she say that? I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, is the way it was. I said, did he accept you? She said, I never thought about it that way. Folks, does he accept us? If we're honest with him, and we pour out our hearts to him, and give him our all, and we have a purpose and a desire that we want to go all the way with the Lord and live for him, and be all that he wants me to be till I'm conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's saying a lot, isn't it? To be conformed to that image. But that's what we can do by the grace of God. And that's what he's looking for out of each and every one of us, that we be conformed to his image. You pray for me. Amen.